Welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And as usual, I'm Liam.
And today we're going to be talking about what has replaced Kamen Rider in all of our hearts, and that's Japanese golfing.
There's nothing better than a good game of Japanese golf on a Sunday morning.
I love everything about the tees, the
golf,
balls.
Yeah, golf balls, golf like sticks.
Golf sticking is my high sticking? Is that that's the thing in golf?
I'm pretty sure. You throw the stick to get the bird, and you get the birdie.
I like pants that don't come down to your ankles. In lieu of there not being a Kamen Rider episode this week, we're going to be doing the spoiler cast that we have spoken about in the past about Kamen Rider Kabuto. We're going to go in-depth in this shit. I don't want to say deeply, because who knows, but we're going in-depth in this shit.
So if you haven't seen Kabuto, or if you're worried about getting spoilered on Kabuto, don't fucking listen past a certain point.
I don't want to see a bunch of emails like, why did you spoil this or whatever? Why didn't you tell us you were gonna fucking spoilers! Spoilers.
We're gonna do some other shit first, though.
Yeah, let's get some things out of the way first. Why don't we talk about the little tiny bit of news that we have this week? Liam?
Yeah, jack shit happened this week, but there is going to be a complete selection modification version of the Gattack Sector and the Hyper Sector. And again, I usually don't talk about toy news, but for me personally, this is big news. Because I fucking love the Gattack Sector. And I love CSM. And every time I go to buy something, I look on Mandarake, and I'm like, do you think maybe they've got a CSM Kabuto Sector for a decent price? And it's like, nope, $900, please.
Yeah, so Mr. Moneybags over here, like, split open his piggy bank so that he could buy a fucking Gattack Sector
at an
exorbitantly high price, and now they put out the fucking CSM Gattack Sector.
I feel like a fucking idiot, like, times two, though, because the DX Gattack Sector I bought, I spent, like, over $100. I spent, like, CSM prices on it, like, the price of a new CSM. And now here we are getting a CSM, like, a few months after I buy it. I feel like a fucking idiot.
And you are.
Oh, I still might buy it. I don't know if I have the money.
Fucking deep money pockets McGee over here.
What's $200 in the grand scheme of things for a piece of plastic? Come on.
It's worth it. It's worth it to press a button and hear some shit.
Absolutely. That's why
it's
we watch.
It's worth it to fit around a human adult male.
Really, the show accurate belt is the real kicker, I think. The Zector itself isn't that much different, but it's got like an actual prop accurate belt, like full sized, and with a working little clock up pad that you can hit. That's sick.
Liam's gonna go to the fucking bus terminal where he gets picked on every day, and they're gonna be like, "Oh, here comes Liam," and he's gonna be like, "Ha. Today's different, motherfuckers," and he's gonna slap his belt on, do his transformation sequence. Shit's gonna get real.
But only after $200, unfortunately.
Real bloody.
So yeah, that's toy news. You had some toy-related shit to share too, right?
As a matter of fact, I went to Disney World for the first time. I just got back yesterday, as a matter of fact. And, I had made jokes the entire time that me and my fiance were going to Epcot because they have a Japan pavilion there. And I was like, where's Kamen Rider? Where the fuck's Kamen Rider at? So we go inside of a toy shop, and what the fuck is there? Kamen Rider 1, 2, V3, the first and the next action figures in a fucking glass case in the middle of Disney World.
They also had Geki from Zoo Ranger there, didn't they?
Yeah, with the gold shield, with Barai's shield.
Yeah, the dragon armor.
That was fucking nuts. They actually had Dragon Caesar in as well. But the thing is, Zoo Ranger came to America as Power Rangers. Who the fuck would know what Kamen Rider is?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's the authentic, like, say what you want about Disney World. It is, like, a very, very cynical corporate thing, but they fucking, they spend a lot of money. They go all the way.
Yeah. The thing is, you go into the shop and it's fucking Sailor Moon, Hello Kitty, Power Rangers, not Super Sentai, Power Rangers, and Bleach, Naruto, Inuyasha. If it was on American TV, it's there and nothing else. And here's Kamen Rider.
Yeah, I visited Disney World as well a year ago last summer. and I was equally surprised to see the Kamen Rider figures. They're quite exorbitantly priced, too.
Yeah, no kidding. It was fucking $80 for a figure art.
Just like everything at Disney World, it was very expensive.
Insanity. You knew that they were there, and you didn't even tell me.
I totally forgot. You never asked.
Oh, you fucking Kamen Rider chaser motherfucker.
I was too absorbed in Canada Land to remember anything about Japan Land.
I love, Canada Land looks way too much like England Land. They are fucking identical there. There's just a bunch of old rustic shit, so it's like half American frontier land and half England Land.
Well, contrary to popular belief, Canada never actually advanced beyond the 1800s. It's still in that technological and political state.
I saw a video starring Martin Short about fucking Canadian tourism, so I know all about your shitty country
now. Oh, God. The secret's out.
The secret's out. Martin Short is Canadian. Everybody fucking knows now. I actually like Martin Short, but it doesn't matter. There are Kamen Rider figures at Disney World. Make a fucking pilgrimage to that shit. Pay $200 to get in and see that shit.
I mean, between the ticket and the figure itself, you're paying pretty much the same as you would for, like, a scalper on eBay to give it to you, so... $500 for the plane ticket?
They're, like, really good condition fucking figures and stuff, though. It's not... You're not getting used shit. They're brand new, right out of box.
Yeah, it's nice. It's pretty cool.
Don't do it, though, because it's $80. Just get it from, like, Plamoya or something.
It's theft. Go on Mandarake first. Always.
Yeah, Mandarake should be your first stop.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought that was interesting, since nothing else fucking happened this week.
Didn't you not... Oh, you're talking about Kamen Rider related.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, you didn't go on the fucking Ramones roller coaster at the Magic Kingdom?
Fuck off. There was no Ramones roller coaster. I looked for it.
Did they take it down? It was there last year.
I don't know. Maybe I just didn't find it.
Maybe it was...
I didn't see anything about
maybe
it.
Maybe it wasn't at Magic Kingdom. Maybe it was somewhere else. I don't know. It was in the same...
Yeah, we went to Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And
okay, because I remember the Ramones thing was in the same land as the Tower of Terror. Was that Magic Kingdom?
No.
Okay, well, enough non-Kamen Rider talk for this week.
Thanks for joining us on the Disney World cast.
Yeah, we'll be back next week to talk about the Ramones roller coaster ride.
I'm going back to get on it.
We've got email.
We have Slim Pickens for email.
Slim Pickens
this
week. I guess because Drive didn't happen, nobody cares.
Yeah, nobody has anything to say.
So today we got an email from Hotshot14KP, and they say, "You guys are really awesome and funny, and I love the podcast. Thanks, friendo."
Thank you, person who's absolutely not me writing this email.
My question for you is, if you could have one rider protect you from every other rider, who would you pick and why?
Who would you pick, Liam?
Oh my fucking god. One rider against every other? I'd hate to do this to you, Jeff, but maybe Decade.
See, I would pick Stronger, because his superpower is being stronger.
His superpower is shooting electricity out of his fists.
He's stronger than everyone else. It's right in his name. No matter who you put forth, he's stronger than them.
Then why did he get his shit wrecked by Kabuto in Heisei versus...
We don't talk about that fucking movie.
Why did he get his shit wrecked by, like, three different members of the Delza army in the last arc?
Why did he get his shit wrecked by a bunch of fucking magnets?
Yeah. Stronger gets his shit wrecked all the time.
Yeah, so does... Well, Decade never loses at anything, so you're probably right.
Yeah, he can... He's...
Actually, I choose whoever the newest rider at the time is. Boom! Automatic win.
That's true. If he doesn't just beat them by virtue of being the newest, he'll gain some, like, fucking Rider 1 form or whatever. He'll gain the Gaim ghost icon or something. And then you're just fucking... You win.
If I had to choose someone specific, I choose Kamen Rider Zetcross from the Kamen Rider Spirits manga.
Specifically from the manga?
Yeah, because he's like God. He's got God body.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, shit. That's pretty good. Decade could turn into him, though, so...
That's not even true, but alright.
He could. I'm sure there's a card floating around
Decade
there.
Can only turn into Heisei Riders, or Showa Riders if it's involved in a movie.
He's got... There's Showa cards. You can buy them.
Can he buy them?
He's like, I gotta turn into Kiva. What was it? Emperor form was his name?
Yeah.
I gotta turn into Kiva Emperor form. I gotta go on Mandarake real quick. Get the card pack. What an arc to get your final form.
I have to wait 6 to 8 weeks.
That's the time skip episode.
He comes back with an equally fucking ridiculous haircut.
Decade's hair is good in the crossover movies. Just
yeah, in the crossover movies, he has normal hair.
Yeah, in the show,
for the most part,
his hair is like, what the fuck? It's either like this really plain, ugly-looking like helmet, or
a ponytail made out of the braids of dwarven beards.
Yeah. He's got some funny hair, that guy.
Yeah, you probably... It's probably best to choose Decade.
Decade's a safe choice, yeah.
Although, why would he protect you? He's an arrogant dickface.
I don't know. When has Decade's motives ever made sense?
I stand corrected.
He has no story. He does whatever he wants.
His personality changes to fit the crossover movie.
That's true.
All Riders versus Liam Soji.
Someday.
We did get some synopses from our old pal Barrett Stanko, and he's actually watching Ryuki and Kuga right now. I think I mentioned last episode. Way to fucking pound those down, dude. Takes me forever to get through a series.
He finished both of them?
I think so.
Oh my god. He's finished both of them in the time that it's taken me to watch like 10 episodes of Kuga.
He's been pounding them down like brewskis.
Rider fans, they really know how to shotgun shit, don't they?
Yeah,
a lot. I find a lot of them. When I watch a show, a Rider show, like when I get into a new show, I watch it very like ponderously. I take big breaks and watch like 2 episodes a day and shit. Like I space it out. I don't know how people just like blow it like that, blow through them.
Yeah, I think the most episodes in a day I'll watch is like 5 or 6.
Yeah, that was when I was watching Ryuki and I was really into it. I was doing 6 a day, but that's the most.
After that, I'm getting Rider burnout.
I don't know, like, people, I've seen people do that where they'll like, regiment out shows, and I guess if that's what you want, but some people, I think it's just like I get this a lot when I'm watching a Rider show where, like, as it goes along, I get more and more excited to watch the next one on my backlog.
Yeah.
I guess I see that people just, like, blow through it so they can get to the next one, and then blow through that one so they can get to the next one after that, and it's like, shit, that's like constant thrills.
I think if you're getting into the series, that's a lot easier if the series is, like, changing a lot as it goes along. But we learned our lesson with that when we tried the shotgun through Sun Vulcan.
Oh, man.
And that shit, that episode, most of the episode of Sun Vulcan is just the previous episode replayed again.
Sun Vulcan is old Toku.
Old Sentai, especially.
Old Sentai, especially, is very, very strict Monster of the Week formulas. Every week. And
it's not even just the strict Monster of the Week formula that gets so difficult to get through. It's that they just... It's a formula even during the fight. It's like, you use certain attacks and they don't work. So you use your special attack and it does work, then you use your finisher and it's the end. And most of that is just reused footage from every other episode.
Yeah, it's... I'm not dumping on Sun Vulcan. I did eventually come back and finish it, and when you watch it slowly, when you space it out, it's a lot more digestible and fun.
Yeah, Sun Vulcan is great. It is such a fun series, but it does get ponderous.
More than 2 episodes at once of Sun Vulcan is just indigestible. I know my absolute favorite episode of Sun Vulcan was one where they fight a rosemonger, and it's like a fencer, a red rose fencer.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
And, yeah, and then the chief's daughter becomes the white rose fencer, and they have to, as the Sun Vulcan robot, they have to learn, like, an unbeatable sword technique and how to dodge it, and it's like, wow, that's fucking great, because it breaks the usual convention, and they use this sick finishing move when Rosemonger, like, dives at them, and they do, like, a matrix dodge and slice it in the stomach. And it's like...
It was really cool.
Damn!
And you don't really get that
Never.
In any other episode.
Every other episode is the same shit up until the end. And it's like...
Yeah, they use the Aurora Plasma Geishi, and that's
every
it.
Every single time.
Yeah.
It's... Ugh.
Although, for a while, we got to, like, episode, I don't know, 18, maybe?
We got to 20-something right before...
We got to 20-something. We were, like, shotgunning through
right
it.
Before Ryusuke Awashi got replaced, we got to 20. 20 or so.
And we were... We were, like, yelling out the Aurora Plasma Geishi
we
thing
knew.
Every time they used
it. We knew exactly when they would use it. It got to the point where, like, the second they would get in the robot, it's like, all right, episode's over. Like, from here on, it's going to be shot for shot.
We can go get a fucking snack now, play a game.
Sun Vulcan's worth watching, though, if you're thinking about it. Don't let us deter you. It's a funny show.
No, I love Sun Vulcan. I would suggest it. I would also suggest watching, like, two or three episodes at a time.
Yeah, it's got good pyrotechnics, it's got good fight choreography. The writing is just extremely, extremely repetitive. That's all.
It's also goofy as holy fuck. And I love it for that.
The goofs wear thin after a while, but early on, like, first five episodes, you're gonna be rolling around in your chair. It's brilliant.
You get used to it after a while, like a grown man making shark attack motions with his arms. You get used to it.
Cupping a guy's face in his hands to attack him. It's brilliant.
But enough about Sentai. No one gives a fuck about Sentai. We went off talking about Kamen Rider here.
Huge tangent about Sentai. So, Jeff, Kamen Rider Kabuto.
Never seen it.
Okay. Thanks for watching this week, guys.
Alright, where do you want to start with Kabuto? Let's start at the beginning.
Kamen Rider Kabuto is the 35th anniversary series for Rider. So, it being the 35th, and it being, like, right in the middle of the Heisei series, right in the middle of the pre-decade Heisei series, it had a bit of a special place to fill. And it did that by sort of... It had a motif kind of similar to Stronger, a design similar to Stronger, the red Kabuto beetle with the horns sticking up.
Yeah, they took a lot of, I've forgotten a word.
Inspiration?
They've taken a lot of inspiration from the Showa series in not only the bug designs that all of the Zectors have and all the suits are made on, but also in the backstory to the series, the dates given for when the worms first arrive. You know, we've covered that before.
Yeah.
There's a ton of stuff that owes itself to the Showa series, and it's all updated for a modern audience.
Yeah, it follows a guy named Tendo and his not-friend named Kagami as they try and... As they try and survive an invasion of body-snatching bug aliens who want to come to the world and eat everybody and take their shit, steal their lives. And there's a lot of weird twists and turns over the course of the story, some good and some bad, but the series does manage to wrap itself up in a nice little bow in the end. Jeff... What do you think overall of Kabuto? Like,
we're just skipping right to this.
Let's start with a broad overview before we get into the nitty gritty. What do you think of the whole thing?
My broad overview begins and ends with Kagami as a character. I believe that from the first moments that you see Kagami on screen, if you knew nothing about Kamen Rider Kabuto and you started watching it, and you saw Kagami on screen, you would swear that that motherfucker is going to become Kabuto. And that was done so purposefully to bait and switch you with Tendo, and it endears Kagami to you even further. And seeing his character arc throughout the series from being this complete fuck-up who can't do anything right, to being this guy who runs headlong into every problem and solves it that way, and finds his own Zector and becomes his own Kamen Rider to fight this threat that he's been trying to stand up against since the beginning of the series, his character arc is great. And unfortunately, that highlights the fact that Tendo does not have a character arc whatsoever.
He kind of does.
He has a character arc in that he seems to care about someone else after a certain period of time.
Yeah, there's a big revelation about Tendo. Oh, I should probably say spoilers from this point on. Turn off the podcast if you haven't seen Kabuto, for your own sake.
That's true. Tendo's character arc is shallow. I think we can both agree with that.
Yeah. It's
not a very deep arc at all.
It's event-driven and not character-driven, his arc.
Yeah, Kagami's arc is event and character-driven, I would argue.
Yeah.
Because his character really does go from being a completely useless fuck-up to being the driving force of the series. Although he does fuck up still. he never goes beyond being a fuck up, but he transcends past only fucking up.
So that's what you'd say you watch Kabuto for Kagami's arc?
Yeah. Of course, there are other characters that are introduced throughout the series that you attach yourself to as well. At least I did.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tsurugi.
Tsurugi. Everybody loves Tsurugi, yeah.
If you listen to the podcast, you saw that Liam did not like Tsurugi to begin with.
I didn't like him so much to begin with. He endeared himself to me a little bit over the course of the show.
I can see why, though, is the thing, because to begin with, Tsurugi is like Tendo 2.0.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any other personality beyond it, but within two or three episodes, it becomes obvious that he's like Tendo 0.5.
Yeah.
He's not actually going to be Tendo. He's going to fail at being Tendo and be funny about it. And that's endearing. A character who's always perfect and knows it and is a shithead about it is hard to be endeared to. It happened for Liam eventually. Liam eventually found Tendo endearing.
I warmed up to Tendo, absolutely, yeah.
I didn't particularly. I like Tendo for who he is and everything, but I wouldn't say that he's anywhere near my favorite character in the series.
Tendo is, he's the kind of person who you wouldn't want to meet, but he's very fun to watch, I think.
That's true.
When he's my favorite scene with him, one of my favorite scenes with him, is when a worm tricks him into going underground into a basement, and the worm thinks he's not going to be able to get his hands on his sector down there. And Tendo's like, ah, I see your plan. You think you've got me fucked down here. Well, guess what? If I hold my hand out, anything in the world will come to me. And he holds his hand out, and the Zector fucking busts through the ceiling. And it's just like, when he's got his little fuck you personality, and when he's using it on bad guys, it's really fun to see.
When he uses it on not bad guys is when it busts your balls. Like, when he shits all over Kagami all the time.
Well, that was early on, he shit on Kagami a lot. He cuts it out after a little bit.
There is a point where Kagami gets his own Zector for the first time. He becomes the Bee. And he's really good as the Bee. He's better than the previous users of the Bee, as a matter of fact.
Mm.
And fucking Zect is like, hey, you gotta kill Tendo. And he's like, no, I refuse to kill my friend. Here's your stupid Zector back. And Tendo's like, wow, you're a fucking bitch. I'm not even your friend. I hate your guts. Peace.
Tendo is what's known as a tsundere, Jeff.
I don't mean to be an uncultured swine about the ultimate waifu.
Tendo.
I like Tendo. I do. I don't love Tendo, but I like him.
He talks a big game about being a big fucking badass, but he likes Kagami. Like, I've mentioned this before. There's a bit where somebody holds a gun to Kagami's head, somebody from Zect, and they're like, Tendo, give up the Kabuto Zector, we'll blow your friend's brains out. And Tendo looks at Kagami and goes, I'm not friends with that fucking loser. But you can have the Zector anyway. I didn't want to just take it.
But
it's like, all right, you fucking love him, just do it. It's kind of early on, but it's like, it gives you a little window into like, oh, he's a human, maybe he's just putting up a tough front. They don't really explore that much more.
No, they don't. But that's sort of the only moment that happens, and that in the very tail end of the episode of the series.
You see little windows into it that it's one of the trip-ups. They should have been explored a little more.
That's my biggest problem with the series, is that things that should have been explored more is a far larger pile than things that are explored more.
Yeah, no kidding.
They just keep throwing concepts at you throughout the series, and they don't get deep into them at all. They're like, hey, here's the Bee. This guy, Kageyama. Kageyama is, like, the consummate professional. And he has all the skills that Tendo does, and he's actually a good dude about it. And Tendo ruins his fucking shit and sends him to the bottom of despair. And then he's a joke character for the rest of the series.
Turns him into a walking hot topic.
Yeah.
the dude
shit Spencer's gifts. Overall, I think the series continually brings forth new concepts and doesn't explore them at all.
Mm-hmm.
And loses itself in its own self-referential humor at a certain point. And it clinches itself in the end, at least. There's a wrap-up. But it leaves so many dangling-ass threads throughout the rest of it that I really wish that more time would have been put into getting all those threads wrapped up. Overall, I really do like Kabuto.
It is a wrap-up in the end, but it's like a hasty, like, 6 a.m. on Christmas morning wrap-up. They do it up, but it's it's a little rough.
So what did you think overall, then?
Overall, I think Kabuto was good. If I had to give a, like, if I had to say one thing about it overall, it's good. Thumbs up. but I think a lot of your problems are my problems with it, in that it has it starts off really strong, it establishes a tone really strong, and then at around the halfway point, it fucks the tone and then introduces a whole bunch of plot concepts that don't make a whole lot of sense, and aren't, like, some of them don't even end up influencing the plot at all. Like, the Berserk switch. Remember the out-of-control switch that all the Zectors supposedly had?
Yeah, the fucking Red Shoes program that comes up and then is absolutely forgotten the very next episode.
Well, I think it happens once more, and that's all. But that's...
I only remember it happening the one time when the Hopper Brothers beat the shit out of Kagami and Tendo. That's the only time I ever remember it happening.
It happens that time, and it also happens the first time it was introduced, I'm pretty sure, is when they're talking to the first native worm they meet, and it's like, or they're fighting a worm, they're protecting the native worm from a real worm, and then the Red Shoe system kicks in for Kabuto and he attacks the native worm, and then faints. And that's the introduction.
Oh yeah!
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you think, okay, like, it's a good introduction to the concept. Now, what are they gonna do with it? Pretty much nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. It's
And the thing about it is, it's a stupid concept to introduce at that point anyway, since they've been trying to kill Tendo off this entire time. Why didn't they just activate the Red Shoes program before this?
Well, I think the Red Shoes system wasn't meant to kill Tendo, it was meant to kill the natives, wasn't it?
Well, the Red Shoes program caused, like, severe pain and, like, shut down the suits if it was necessary. Like, that's what happened when the Hopper Brothers beat the shit out of Kagami and Tendo. They could have just done that at any point. Like, when they kept sending the bee after Kabuto, why didn't they just activate the Red Shoes program?
It shuts the suits down after taking control of them and making them attack whoever Zect wants them to attack.
Well, yeah, why not use it before, is my point, if they were trying to get the suit from Tendo.
I have no fucking idea, because the writers hadn't thought of it yet.
Yeah.
I guess, let's talk about the big elephant in the room whenever you talk about Kabuto, is everything during and after the Dark Kitchen arc.
That arc was, like, I guess it was just sort of mandatory at that point that there had to be some big, goofy arc that had nothing to do with the rest of the show. Some filler arc that was funny in some way.
And that's not...
There's a lot of other Heisei series have that as well.
That's not a crime, to have a funny little filler arc.
No, it's not.
And the Dark Kitchen arc was not nearly as bad as a lot of people led me to believe. The way people talked about it to me before, I thought it was going to be like 15 episodes, like swallowing up the entire plot. It was a stupid little funny thing, and that's fine.
Yeah, I like the Dark Kitchen arc, actually. It's fucking ridiculous and dumb, but it's enjoyable to watch.
But the Dark Kitchen is the signal. It's the signal at which the series is over. Because after the Dark Kitchen arc is over, it comes back to the main plot of the show, and you're like, alright, time to get back on track. And it's like, oh, by the way, Hiyori is a worm. Oh, by the way, there were worms here before the worms. Dark Kabuto is on the edge of time, and Hiyori's thrown to the edge of time. There's native worms, yes. And one guy can control all the Zectors, and there's the Red Shoe system, and here's the Hopper Brothers, And you're like,
Like, what does any of this fucking have to do with anything?
I just fucking spoiled everything about Kabuto, pretty much, by the way.
Have a good night, everybody!
Let's go through this one by one. Hiyori as a worm. What did you think of that plot point?
I think that's what I thought of that plot point.
her being a worm and her being Tendo's worm sister.
What the fuck?
Tendo isn't
a
worm.
That's what I think.
For those of you who haven't seen Kabuto, Tendo isn't a worm, but his parents were pregnant, and then a native worm came up and killed their parents, and killed his parents and copied his parents.
They copied a worm baby.
Yeah, so...
The female worm was not pregnant, by the way.
The female human was pregnant that they killed and copied, and they copied
everything.
Yeah,
the worm copied her body as well as the fact that she had a fucking baby in her, which brings forth all sorts of fucking physiological questions. And then she poops out a fucking baby that thinks it's a human being. And how... It doesn't even explain how Hiyori ends up not having anything to do with Tendo and the rest of his family.
Here's what I think. Because remember, after Tendo's parents died, he left. And he got adopted by the grandma that he's always talking about. But yeah. Hiyori obviously was born to the worm parents. I think the reason why Hiyori doesn't know she's a worm is either because her parents maybe never told her for whatever fucking reason, or another plot point that gets introduced, it's possible for a worm to lose their worm heart and start to think that they are actually the person that they're body snatching.
Extra fucking spoilers. Tsurugi is a worm.
Yeah, Tsurugi is a scorpion worm, and he killed himself and mimicked. The scorpion worm killed Tsurugi's sister, and Tsurugi, as a sword, swears revenge. But the reality is that the scorpion worm also killed Tsurugi and became Tsurugi, and then thought he was Tsurugi, so he was trying to get revenge on himself.
You might notice that this is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, it's like...
It was a decent reveal, somewhat, but they had been dropping so many hints for, like, 3 or 4 episodes that at that point you're like, fucking finally, just come out and say it.
Well, yeah, the whole, like... it's not just that he's a worm, but the whole, like, he's forgotten that he's a worm thing is really, really easy to guess. I guessed it almost immediately after I saw that. And I remember you and another guy were like, nah, you were joking. You were like, nah, that's all made up shit, Liam. That's not right. You're being dumb. And then obviously it turned out
I was... I didn't want you to fucking spoil yourself.
It turned out I was...
I didn't want to tell you that you were right, because then you would be certain and there would be no... I don't know what I was trying to do. It's not really a great reveal, and it's a twist, but it's like a Shyamalan twist from one of his later movies.
Yeah, post-Signs.
And it's meant to stab you in the heart, because Tsurugi has become so loved in your soul. It also sucks to see Tsurugi get, like, fucking turned down every 5 seconds. Like, Kagami doesn't want to be friends with him, Hiyori doesn't like him, and then he turns out to be a worm.
That's just fucked. You killed your own sister. You're screwed.
What a way to fucking die, man. Everything you knew about yourself is a lie, you murdered your own sister, no one loves you, now you're dead.
Okay, we've gotten a little off of Hiyori for a bit.
Yeah.
Do you think the Hiyori... Like, the whole Hiyori being a worm, Hiyori being Tendo's sister. Do you think that adds some much-needed pathos to Tendo's backstory?
No.
No? I think it does.
Let me rethink my answer. No. Because it adds to Hiyori's character, it gives her some depth. It would add to Tendo's character a lot more if he reacted to it a little bit more heavily. There are episodes where he really seems affected by it. And then there's a following episode where it seems like he does not give a shit.
Well, that's because he's trying to keep up his whole Tendo persona of, I'm a big asshole.
Well, he is a big asshole.
Good.
Shouldn't be that difficult to keep up. You're probably right. Like, Tendo gets a little, gets some pathos from it. You see his veneer crack, which doesn't happen at any other time in the series. He obviously has cared about Hiyori a lot throughout the series, and it puts a title on it, in a way. But I gotta say, it feels like the writers weren't planning on this shit.
No, absolutely not. But it gives them a little... Like, the writers didn't plan for fucking anything in Kabuto. Come on.
No, absolutely.
It gives them a little emotional involvement, I think, to something, rather than just, I want to kill all the worms. Right?
Yeah, he had a sister already, is the thing.
Yeah, but his sister...
And he obviously cared a lot about his sister.
His sister wasn't directly involved. She was a bystander, right? She was just a human that he was trying to protect.
Hiyori wasn't directly involved until she turned out to be a fucking
exactly,
worm.
That's why I'm saying...
She filled a spot that like, never existed before.
That's why I'm saying that the whole worm plotline was what sort of gave Tendo his character, because once she got more involved, once she turned out to be a worm and his sister, it gives him the little emotional push.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, I think it was totally...
It fleshes out his character a
lot. It's a little out of left field, but I think... I almost think the writers intended for it, like, oh god, we gotta give Tendo something. He's his sister.
To begin with, it was really obvious that, like, Tendo and Hiyori were supposed to be, like, romantically involved.
Yeah.
At some point, it was going to be, like, a romance.
Yeah,
thing.
Because it's really... They have some moments that are really weird.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking, like, Star Wars A New Hope, like, Luke and Leia shit. Like, they just suddenly happen to be brother and sister, and it's been planned all along. Even though...
Yeah, it's... All those romantic moments are very, very weird when you look back on them after having seen the whole series.
They were weird anyway, because it was like a fucking, immovable object and an unstoppable force.
Yeah, Hiyori's kind of a... kind of a brick.
I often wonder, is that, if anyone's seen anything else with that girl in it, I'm not sure what her name is, but is she that emotionless in everything else?
Who knows? It could be the directing of Kabuto.
Yeah, it could be. It could be she's acting emotionless, like she's supposed to.
Yeah, could be.
Who knows? That could have been a hint at her being a worm. Mm. But I guess that's not true. Worms have personalities. Like, look at the native worm that was working with Kagami's dad.
Yeah, the guy who wears, like, that baseball sweater or whatever everywhere.
Yeah, that guy had a hell of a personality. He seemed
he
like
just looks like a normal schlub. That's another thing I wanted to talk about with Kabuto. In the first few episodes, when a worm steals someone's body, you can tell that they don't know how to act and move like a human. They sort of shamble around like a zombie and they don't talk. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, they can, like other Kamen Rider enemies, they can disguise themselves as humans, but they don't know how. They can't do it perfectly. And then past, like, episode 3 or so, they can do it perfectly. And you're like, okay.
Yeah, past episode 3, they start talking. They have, like, nefarious plans instead of just being, like, an invading force.
Yeah, it's a little bit of wasted potential, I think, on a cool concept. Like, a nice spin.
I feel like you went into Kabuto and you started watching it and you were like, oh, this is like an alien invasion. This is cool. And that was, like, abandoned really quickly, and they're just sort of, like, generic enemies after that point.
It's kind of... It's a subtle threat, is the thing, of the worms. It doesn't... You never get the real idea that the Earth is really in huge danger or that it's really fucked and that there's a bunch of aliens running around. Because they're all disguised.
Yeah, there's like a city that's obliterated or whatever, but everybody's still going about their daily fucking routine, like no military hanging out everywhere or whatever, just Zek showing up.
I think because most people every now and don't then. Know about the worms. I don't think they tell anyone, but how would you keep something
how
like
do
that?
You not know? Yeah. Like a city was obliterated.
How they're all over the place. They're stealing everybody's bodies. I guess they keep disguised really well.
But I guess there's, like, normal citizens who you hear talking about the threat of the worms.
That's true. I don't know, man. It's a bit weird with that. But, I mean, in Kabuto, it just... Or in Kamen Rider in general, it always takes place in just, like, a normal city, so... That's just how it is.
It costs far less money to do that.
They can't just make the streets abandoned all the time, like the end of Gaim or something. You gotta rent all the streets out and shit.
It costs a lot of money, I bet you.
Yeah.
All that Lockseed money. slight tangent. I finally got my Kurumi Lockseed.
I saw that.
I finally got it.
It was the candy toy version, right?
Yeah, I am Mr. Knuckleman. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. What do you think of the Movie Rider in series, Dark Kabuto?
He is the Movie Rider. That's when you started talking about shit that doesn't matter to the plot whatsoever and has no bearing on anything. Dark Kabuto is immediately what popped into my head.
He's got
what
a little.
What the fuck does it... Like, what?
He kidnaps Hiyori.
Okay.
And he takes her to the edge of time.
What does this have to do with the plot of the series?
Because Tendo's trying to protect Hiyori. It's a direct relation to his emotional involvement. I think that's enough.
I don't think so. That could have been, like, a fucking summer movie. It would have had nothing to do with the story.
I guess it...
Does Kamen Rider... Let's say, does Gaim defeating Bunshin Gaim have anything to do with the Kamen Rider Gaim series? He defeats Bunshin Gaim in order to save Mai.
Bujin Gaim.
Bujin, yeah. Sorry.
Fucker.
I didn't mean to get that great character's name wrong. But that's my point, is that Dark Kabuto's arc has nothing to do with the main storyline of defeating the worms.
I guess, yeah, in the grand context of things.
Or, like, Hiyori's transformation has nothing to do with any of that shit.
It's just,
he fucking Bowser storms the castle and steals Princess Peach, and Mario has to go to the end of time and save her.
I will say one thing about Dark Kabuto. He is one of the least threatening rival characters in the history of fiction. Because Tendo, I don't remember if Tendo has the Hyper Zector when he shows up or just after he shows up. But he's
just after.
He's already got his fucking final form, like, two episodes after, like, their second fight. He's just trivializing this man, Dark Kabuto. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing he can do. Tendo is a class ahead.
It doesn't help that Dark Kabuto's goal for being named Dark Kabuto isn't really fucking evil at all. He's just like, I want to protect Hiyori and take her to the paradise at the end of time that I live in so that I won't, neither of us will be lonely anymore. And Kabuto's like, no, fuck that. She's my girlfriend.
I mean, sister.
So, like, Tendo is kind of the bad guy for a couple episodes. Like, she's like, no, I want to stay here. And he's like, no, you're coming back with me.
The reveal of Dark Kabuto is fucking priceless, though. When Hiyori goes down to the basement at the edge of time and there's, like, the guy chained up and she pulls off his mask and it's Tendo and you're like, what the fuck?
And then for the next several episodes, you're like, what the fuck?
Like, how in the shit? Like, ugh.
I don't remember an explanation for him.
There is one. He is the first, he's the first human to be forcibly turned into a native, and then they force his native form to copy Tendo. That's how it is. And this somehow helps them create the Hypersector, I think.
Boy, this is good writing.
I'm gonna talk a little about the writers later. My least favorite part, my least favorite of these big ridiculous reveals in the second half of Kabuto is the native worms, and I've talked about this before.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that bothers you so much.
I hate the native worms with a fucking passion. They change the context of the entire story of the show. Like I said before, Kabuto's early episodes establish a tone really, really well. There's the meteor hits Shibuya, I believe, is what it destroys, and it changes everyone's lives, and you have a whole cast of characters who they lost family members and friends, and their lives were forever changed by this meteorite. It's really contextualized as the turning point of fucking world history, the moment that changed everything. And then you get to the native worms, and it's like, oh no, there were already worms, there was another meteor like 7 years before that, but nobody noticed it, I guess, that brought these other worms.
Well, the meteor like, crashed in the
you.
Middle of nowhere.
Sure, whatever. How do you still not notice a fucking meteor crash? Even
meteors
if
meteors crash on the planet all the time, and Zek noticed.
Tiny little ones, not big enough to carry an army of alien worms.
Zek noticed.
I guess Zek noticed.
I think the native worms recontextualize the series in a way that you don't enjoy, but I think it added a little bit of depth to the worms, that there were at least two factions, because it seems like in everything, aliens are this fucking... But if there are evil aliens, then aliens are these fucking faceless, evil creatures that are an enemy to be destroyed, and the native worms at least gave you the idea that not all of them were that way.
But Jeff, they were all evil. The native worms were evil. There was, like, one good one in the whole... Like, two. What? You had Hiyori, and you have, Kagami's boss, whose name I don't remember, is, like, the only good native worms. And the others are trying to turn the whole world into worms. You just think they're good, because they don't plan on them being villains when they first get introduced. Fuck native worms.
If we take the whole series into context, everything is fucked up. I'm just taking it piece by piece.
Okay, I suppose.
At that point, it seemed like a good idea to me, but by the end, you're right. All of them are fucking evil. It was pointless to split them into two factions to begin with. Their plan is pretty much the same fucking plan, is replace human beings with worms.
Yeah, except instead of...
They just go about it differently.
They go about it in a really hilarious way. They want to give everybody a magic necklace that they say can detect worms. And I think it works, but at the same time, they use the necklaces to send out a radio wave that turns you into a worm.
Worm rays.
Like I said, a very hastily assembled villain plan towards the end. They were like, oh, fuck, we need some sort of big world-ending threat, because... God knows, for some reason, the worms don't count. We can't just have a big bad worm. Just have the natives broadcast out a radio ray to turn everybody into fucking natives. Ugh.
That's a fucking... that's a goddamn shocker plot right there.
No kidding. That's a plot. That's a one-episode show a plot.
That is a Gil shocker plot, if I've ever heard of one.
Golgom did it. There was an episode where Golgom gives everyone these magic necklaces. And I don't remember what they do, they poison you or something, but they're like, here's these cool necklaces, and everyone starts wearing them. It's the same fucking thing. Maybe that's...
Of course Golgom is involved. It's always Golgom.
As usual. Maybe that's what they were doing, like, a throwback to. Like, hey, isn't this like a Showa?
Maybe the worms were Golgom.
Maybe the worms were Great Leader. And that's why they have big pointed heads. They have, like, the KKK hood that Great Leader wears.
Holy shit, everything's coming together. We just didn't come at this from the right angle.
Holy shit.
Let me get my fucking pin chart together so that I can put all this information together.
I gotta go get some tinfoil for a hat.
You gotta keep Great Leader out of your mind.
Here's a thing about natives. A weird thing about natives. The first native we meet can control all of the Zectors at will. And none of the others can.
And he's not really supposed to be a special native.
No, either. He's not. He's just a dude.
He's just a native.
And he can... I think it's because the natives are the ones who own Zect, and they are the ones who have overseen the creation of the Zectors, so they can do it. But the show does absolutely nothing with it. One guy does it in one episode.
Again, they do absolutely nothing with it.
It's so... That's like the theme of Kabuto's second half. Like, here's this thing that could be cool, but, no.
I love at the beginning of this, we were like, we both love Kabuto, so let's talk about it. And then we just shit on it for 50 fucking minutes.
Well, if we were talking about the first half of Kabuto, I would have a whole lot of good things to say about it. In fact...
Well, let's go back to the first
half. Let's do that. Kabuto's first half has a great established tone, and it has some really, really strong arcs. Like, story arcs, I mean. Like, remember Daisuke?
There are a lot of established characters at the beginning of Kamen Rider Kabuto who aren't riders, who are really strong, and you don't get that in a lot of other Kamen Rider series. You get bystanders who are pointless. Like, name any of the other dancers from Kamen Rider Gaim.
Chucky?
Besides people who became riders.
Chucky?
Who?
Chucky. She's from Team Gaim.
She probably became a writer.
I don't...
Everybody became a writer in Gaim.
Maybe in the novelization, who knows.
Peiko became a writer.
In a movie.
Everybody becomes a writer in a movie. But think about the Zek team, like Kagami's crew. Those characters are pretty strong characters, and they influence the plot quite a bit to begin with.
That's true. His co-worker and his boss, yeah.
Those characters become pointless towards the middle, and then one of them is randomly turned into a worm.
Well, yeah, his boss, Tadokoro, I believe his name is, was a native the whole time, and also a world-famous soba connoisseur.
Characters matter more towards the beginning. That's sort of a Heisei staple.
And they gradually...
But I think in Kabuto, it's a lot more noticeable. Because people who aren't riders become completely fucking... They're not even in the series anymore, towards the middle.
Yeah. Daisuke is a really strong character early on, I thought. And he is completely gone in the second half. Or like, the last
that
third.
I think that had something to do with his actor being a singer as well.
Oh, yeah.
And having to leave.
That makes sense. Because there's a bit... Remember the bit after Tendo finds out that, that Hiyori is a worm and he's trying to get everybody's Zectors from them? And he goes to take Daisuke's Zector from him and he just takes it from Gon? He doesn't even, like, Daisuke doesn't appear on screen or anything, he just grabs it. It's fucked.
Daisuke, actually played Kamen Rider V3 in Kamen Rider the Next.
Yeah, we've talked about this. He's one of those...
He also plays, the Blue Ranger in After 5, the Super Sentai parody show.
Does he?
Yeah.
I want to see Kanpai Senshi After 5.
Yeah, Kanpai Senshi After 5. Yeah, he plays Blue in that, who's like, guy who's completely full of himself, but he's a total fucking airhead. He's really funny in it.
I bet.
The whole series is really funny, but you see that guy everywhere. Like, he's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. He's got a pretty face, so they put him in everything.
He is. He's a beautiful man. Especially his V3.
Is he? I haven't seen the Next, so...
Don't. But, Daisuke's a really great character.
He was a strong early character, and he had good arcs. There was one arc where Gon got kidnapped. Remember, his little girl that he takes care of, Gon, gets kidnapped. And they have to go on a little quest to save her, and the whole thing is about her getting her memory back and remembering who her parents are. And reuniting with her parents, and it's a really, really strong arc.
Yeah, like, you have to see Daisuke let go of Gon. Like, she's the only person in his life, you know? He's sort of a playboy or whatever, and he gets with a lot of women because he's such a great makeup artist. By the way, fucking ridiculous. Every time he uses his makeup shit, it's hilarious.
That's why
and
I didn't...
I remember you saying it sort of ruined the tone a little bit, and I could see that.
Yeah, I didn't like Daisuke early on because of his silly-ass makeup shit, which, like, it just didn't fit. But he ended up being a really good character, especially for
his arc with Gon, letting her go and everything, and understanding that she needs to be with her mother and everything, that's a really mature theme to be taking on in a Kamen Rider series.
Yeah, and it made for a really good arc. There was also one he was in, it was right before the Dark Kitchen arc. It was the last arc before the show really took a nosedive. And that was when he was framed for murder by a worm. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
It's a really great arc, and it's more arcs should have been like that, because it's you never 100% know whether the characters are talking to Daisuke or the worm that's pretending to be Daisuke. And there are times when he's like, he runs into the restaurant, he's like, I've been framed, I need your help, Tendo. Please just let me stay at your house for a little while. And Tendo's like, yeah, cool, and then that's the worm. And then there's another time when, like, he jumps off a building to commit suicide or something because he doesn't want to be chased anymore. And that was the worm, and oh god, it's crazy.
That could have been something that they used a lot throughout that series, and they didn't.
You know,
and I mean, that's a choice. That's like not a heinous crime to commit or whatever to not use it. But it would have been really cool if they did.
Yeah, in a show about body snatching aliens, I think it's an angle that you should explore, and that not a lot of the time people are going to not know who is who. Who is an alien and who is not an alien.
Yeah, it's a shame they didn't really get into it.
Yeah, oh well.
Talking about something that the series really does well, and I've mentioned this before, I think when I was selling Liam when watching the show before he watched it, is that the suit does choreography in fights and action scenes exceptionally well.
Oh yeah.
And it does suit design fucking tremendously well. There are very few shitty suits.
Yeah, Kabuto's suit designs are fucking slick.
Poor Daisuke probably gets the shittiest looking suit.
Drake's pretty cool.
His armored form is a fucking abomination.
A little bit, yeah.
And his regular form is... It's pretty cool, actually, I'll say. If I had to... I don't know, maybe Sessord's armored form is the worst abomination.
Sessord's is kinda with all the wires and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
But Sessord's regular form is kinda goofy looking as well, but I like it, even.
It's a cool looking form with the little, like, scorpion tail coming out the top.
Yeah, but I think, like, the great suits really balance it out. Like, the Kabuto suit is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Gatak suit is a little bulkier, and when it has the clippers on the shoulder, it looks a little dumb.
They're flopping around whenever he
runs.
But
yeah, but when he takes them off, it looks immaculate. It's a great-ass suit.
Absolutely.
One of the best suits in all of Toku history, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say, is the Bee.
Really? Best ever?
Not best, it's one of the best.
Best ever?
Yeah. The combination of the colors, the design, of course, like, all the Kabuto suits have a similar design to them, but I think it works best with the Bee. And I think the fact that the Bee's armored form and rider form work together thematically so well just brings it a cut above the rest.
You mean like how the armored form is like it's kind of like a beehive
motif?
Yeah, yeah.
God, it's good.
And then it casts off into being the actual wasp for some reason, even though it's a beehive.
The color theme, dude, is so fucking good.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And you love the Hopper Bros suits too, right?
I do. I love the Hopper Brothers suits. I love any intentional throwback to the original Double Riders. And even if they're going to be goofy-ass, useless villains or whatever, those suits are beautiful. And it took me a really long time to notice that their helmets are actual grasshoppers.
Yeah, they got the legs poking up at the back of their heads.
Which is funny. It's funny that they don't look more ridiculous.
They pull it off really well.
I guess they're stylized so heavily that it's okay, but man, I love the Hopper Brothers suits.
Me too.
And they work well in motion, which is something that a lot of later series sort of forget.
Yeah.
They'll create a suit that looks great on paper and might look great on a mannequin, but when it gets in motion, it starts to look ridiculous. And I think I might get crucified for this. You'll get the joke in a second. But I think Kamen Rider Ixa is one of those. Like, Ixa is a suit... is beautiful.
Yeah, Ixa looks real nice.
But when Ixa runs, there are these, like, snow cap ass shoulder pads flapping up and slapping him in the side of the head. It really looks goofy. Like, every move he makes, they fly up like they're designed to, like they're talking or something. And a lot of suits do that, sadly.
It's a pitfall of suit design, I guess.
And I think they've gotten better at that as time goes along. Like, even the bulkiest suits in Gaim don't flop around a shit ton.
Yeah.
And they use them, I would say, more intelligently. They don't put a big bulky suit on somebody and then expect them to be flipping around and shit. Like, for instance, Kachidoki Arm's weapon is the matchlock gun.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't really need to flip around or anything with that like he would with a handheld weapon.
Yeah, there's no dive rolls with Kachidoki.
I think they've learned a lesson since then, but
yeah.
In the meantime, things can get pretty goofy.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit about the writing in Kabuto, the writers specifically. Now, Kabuto's main writer, Kabuto's lead writer, was a fellow named Shoji Yonemura, which the rest of you might know as the guy who was also the lead writer for Kamen Rider Decade. And it's...
I'm seeing a connection here.
The assistant writer on Kabuto was the ever-infamous Toshiki Inoue, who is infamous for a lot of things, Kiva being chief among them. As much as I would like to say that it was Inoue's fault that the show completely falls apart after the Dark Kitchen arc, Yonemura is the one who writes, like, the 10 episodes after that. It's a pretty... Like, Yonemura is the main writer, but he doesn't write almost all the episodes. He writes, like, half to two-thirds. And Inoue writes the rest. So if you ever wanted to know why the hell Kabuto completely fucking falls apart and has a really weird, like, non-plot past the halfway point, it was written by the guy that wrote Decade.
Yeah, think about... That's a good point. Think about how easy it would be to end up with such a disjointed fucking series if you have two different writers who want two completely different things out of the series.
Yeah.
It could be that, like, one of the writers came in wanting to do an alien invasion type story, and the other one wanted to do a story about fucking time travel. And to begin with, they agreed with where they were going with that. And at about the halfway point, they started fighting about which one of those themes was going to be heavier.
Yeah.
So they just started, like, throwing whatever the fuck they could in to try to steer the series in their direction.
Of course, this is all just a theory, but who knows?
Yeah, it's speculation, yeah. But... And I'm not even saying using Kabuto as my example here. I'm just using some, like, metaphorical show as an example. But, man, that would be so fucking difficult not to happen if the two writers wanted two different things.
Yeah, it's a weird
maybe
situation to be in.
Maybe having two separate writers, like a lead and an assistant that way, is maybe not the best way of going at it.
Well, I suppose it depends on who they are.
If they work well together or not.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the bee. It ends up with so many different characters.
Yeah, the bee.
That seemed like it was going to be a plot of some sort. Like, there was going to be an ultimate user of the bee or something. Because it was set up like it was meant to be, like, the anti-Kabuto suit.
Yeah, it was the Kabuto killer, and the bee's got the mind of its own, right? It goes to whoever is the best for it.
That seemed like it was going to be something.
It was going to be something?
Fuck, I didn't mean that! I didn't mean it! But it didn't. It was like Kageyama used it, and he fucked up, and it told him he wasn't good enough anymore, and it was gonna pack its shit and leave, so it did. And then Kagami gave it up, because he's in love with Tendo, and got shit on for his efforts. And then Yagaruma got it, and he was too much of a bitch to use it. And then in the end, what was his character's name in this one? It wasn't Goro.
Mishima.
Because he was He was Goro and...
He was Mishima in this one.
Yeah, Mishima. Mishima gets it and uses it for, like, one fucking fight scene, and it flies away from him all scared.
Yeah.
And then you never see it again until it just appears for the Hyper Zeku.
Yeah, in the end, Kabuto takes it, so...
What a disappointment. Like, I thought that that was really going to come back into play, and I got really excited about it. I was like, who is the last user going to be? Is Mishima going to, like, tame it? Because that would make him seem like a good threat for a change. And no, he's just another fucking worm.
Yeah, well...
Speaking of another fucking worm, this one that's hyped up beyond all measure, what about the fat guy in the trench coat? What was his deal?
The fat guy in the trench coat, the one that there was, like, 50 of them?
Yeah, the one who, like, kicks everybody's ass.
He freezes time and absorbs your attacks.
Yeah, he was played up like he was, like, this huge threat. And he came out of fucking nowhere. It was another one of those, like, we don't really have anything for,
like,
the series to be doing right now, so let's just throw a fat guy in a trench coat at them.
It was either that, or, like, they're struggling to have a thing that's happening in the story. But it's also that I feel like the show sort of struggled to have a main antagonist towards the end.
Yeah,
there's the singing lady, and then you have the trench coat guy, and then you have, finally, the natives. And it's like, it feels like they're flip-flopping between them and then destroying them before they really get any real, like, use.
I think at some point it was obviously going to be Mishima. He was supposed to be the final villain, because he's the one who it's through his evilness that we see that Kagami Sr. isn't as evil as we thought he was.
Yeah, it's his treachery.
Mishima fucking tips his hat way too... He tips his hand. I'm sure he tips his hat, too. But he tips his hand way too early. And the writers were like, well, shit, what are we gonna do now?
They got, like...
So they kept coming up with new antagonists and shit. And you have to settle on an antagonist at some point, or else you're just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And I feel like that actually kind of happened towards the end of Double, in a way. But I guess that's spoilers for you,
yeah.
So I won't get into it.
I'm the guy that hasn't seen Double.
What a shitter, right?
I know.
Everybody, send in letters about this fucker.
I'm a fake writer fan. I'm a sham.
Fake writer girl.
No. That's the sort of problem I have with Kabuto's ending. Is it, like I said, it was good, they wrapped it up, but it's very, like, they weren't sure who they wanted the villain to be.
You know, it's funny, maybe the whole Dark Kabuto thing was like, alright, we ran out of fucking villains, who can even stand up against Tendo anymore? How about Tendo?
And even that didn't work in the end.
No. Because Tendo had the Hyper Zector, and they couldn't just make another fucking Hyper Zector.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous.
Like, nothing else in the series was ridiculous.
That just wouldn't make sense in the story, Jeff. Why would they do that?
There's a lot of shit that was just sort of one-off that we can't even touch on all of it, because there's so much.
Yeah, there's only so much time in the night to talk.
Like, what was the Hopper Brothers' point? Why did Kageyama die? What was the point of that?
I have no idea. I totally forgot that Kageyama died. It happened so late.
Yeah, I don't even remember exactly why he died.
I think, he bought the necklace. He bought the worm necklace that turns you into a worm. And then when it started turning him into a worm, Yaguruma Rider kicked him.
Yeah, I remember that. That was fucking pointless.
Like I said, it happened so late into the series, and it's like there's little build-up because the necklaces themselves are introduced pretty hastily.
It was meant to show that the necklaces meant business. Somebody we knew had to turn into a worm, and it had to make some sort of a dent. But the necklaces were dropped, like, the next fucking episode.
Well, no, the necklaces...
So he died for
the
nothing.
The necklaces last until the end, right? They're the big threat.
I didn't even feel the threat is the thing, because nobody's really important is affected by it. Kageyama isn't important at that point.
They're a shitty threat, but they are the ending threat of the show.
It's not like Kageyama was even the same character anymore at that point. Like, he had gone through the change from consummate professional to Hot Topic to fucking comedic relief to appearing once an episode not doing anything.
I love what the show does with the Hopper Brothers in that there's a bit where they're Like, it starts off, like, they're all, oh, look how cool these guys are. And then there's a bit later on where they're walking down the street, and it's, like, this fat tofu salesman comes out, and he's like, wow, you two look like fucking idiots, you know that? It's like, even the writers are making fun of them.
They're just like, they start out like, oh, look how cool these guys are, and they end up, like, sitting in random locations and brooding for a half a scene,
yep.
And that's it.
Yep.
There's a moment where they're like, should we transform Big Bro? And he's like, no, that would lead us to the light, and then the scene ends.
Yeah, he's like, that would be too...
I was like, well, that's it.
Transforming right now would be too mainstream.
It's a shame.
It's a shame.
Those suits are fucking sick, though.
Oh, yeah. They're fantastic.
They're sick. Okay, we can talk about the ending now.
Well, I've already sort of said all my gripes about the ending. It was hasty, there was no threat, the villain was a little out of nowhere.
I like that the final fight happens on a fucking Goosebumps set.
Oh, yeah, the smoke room.
With, like, fucking smoke machine
it's
going
all red
in
and purple, and Tendo gives the speech.
It was pretty low budget. I feel like a lot of writer series, like, blow their load early and end up shooting on Goosebumps sets.
I do kind of appreciate Mishima being the final fight, because at least it was a character who was present throughout the whole show, and not some dude we were introduced to halfway through or three quarters of the way through.
Yeah,
even
I guess
if
that's true.
Even if it was a little out of left field, we knew Mishima, so that was nice.
It's just Mishima was just a regular fucking worm. Was my problem with it, I guess. Like, he was built up to be this, like, really great threat and everything. And, I mean, it took two of them to defeat him. And it was a cool moment and everything. But in the end, I don't know. It just felt like it was so rushed and hasty. And there wasn't as much weight to it as there should have been. It was the final battle in the series.
It wasn't very well built up to, is the thing.
No.
Like, it's just, here's the necklaces. Oh, no, there's a big threat. Run to the tower. And then they have the fight and it's over.
It's like the final level in a really shitty 90s first-person shooter, really. Like, stop the radio tower from broadcasting its kill beams.
Plant the dirty pulse bomb in the president's internet and kill the terrorists.
It wasn't built up. It was a letdown.
It was,
but it wrapped things up.
Yeah, I don't know if I...
And it wasn't a letdown as much as, say... All of the, like, the fucking Man at the End of Time shit was.
Yeah. Everything
That's
about...
my biggest gripe. If you're listening to this, you could tell Liam's biggest gripe, Native Worms, Jeff's biggest gripe, Man at the End of Time.
Dark Kabuto was a fun guy.
Ugh. Dark Kabuto belongs in a fucking movie.
Yep. It's so weird that they had him in the show. It's just, he doesn't belong.
And the actual movie is like, okay, the villain is Gold Kabuto... With a different head shape.
Yeah, they got
and
that.
He's a chef.
They got a different head shape on him. That's nice. They did that much. It's more than Dark Kabuto can ever say.
Dark Kabuto is slightly more Black Kabuto.
It's lame. So are these all of our thoughts on Kabuto?
I think so. I mean, when I said we were going to go in depth with it, I didn't mean we were going to go episode by episode or anything.
Oh, no.
That would be fucking 6-hour long podcast.
That'd be a whole other podcast in itself.
But I hope we've illuminated some of our problems with the series, and, man, we bitched a lot, didn't we?
Kabuto is a series that's very easy to bitch about, despite all of its merits.
I would still say that you should watch it.
Absolutely, I recommend it.
I recommend it because, like I said, the choreography is top-notch in a Rider series. They really put effort into making the fights dynamic. The whole ability to slow down time to move near the speed of light.
Clock up is fantastic.
It's visually stunning. Even today, like, Tokusatsu doesn't have good special effects. The sky is also blue.
Mm.
They use their special effects budget well. There could have been more clock up throughout the series, because we're told that the only reason normal people can't defeat worms is because they clock up and we can't. And after a character clocks up a few times, the worms just fucking stop. They're like, whatever.
There's no point. It's a zero-sum game. Why even bother?
It made it seem like the worm's natural state of being was clock up, though.
Oh, yeah.
So that was sort of left behind. But clock up is such a cool power to show, and they show it in a way that's visually dynamic as well. Like, it's raining and the raindrops stop, and they get pushed around when they're fighting. or they're falling from a building, like, during the shitty Dark Kabuto fight, and they bounce from debris to debris.
Yeah, they're fighting on falling slabs of concrete. It looks cool.
Yeah, it does look cool. Or they're fighting on top of, like, cars that were driving full speed on the highway, jumping from one to the other.
It's
all done really well.
Early on, they do a lot of cool things with Clock Up. They do a lot of things well in general early on. The characters, the writing, the tone, the story arcs, everything is pretty tight for the first half of Kabuto. And then the Dark Kitchen arc is the signal. And then it's all over from there.
Finish watching it. After the Dark Kitchen arc, you know it's going to go downhill. Prepare yourself.
It's not the worst kind of bad. It's not boring. It's not like you have to force yourself through it. You're just sitting there going like, what the fuck is happening?
I'm not sure why we're recommending a series that we just spoiled the fuck out of, either.
Maybe
if you've listened this far, I would hope that you'd have actually seen the series before.
I pray. I think it's just an overall thing, like, would we recommend it if we were talking?
I recommend it to people.
Yeah, me too.
If people want to get into early Heisei, I always recommend Kuga, Agito, or Kabuto.
No Ryuki?
I think Ryuki is a second series.
Maybe. It was my second.
What was your first?
Well, the first series I ever watched through to completion was Stronger, and then as soon as I finished Stronger, I started Ryuki.
That's a strange path you've taken, sir.
It's the path of heaven.
Fuck you!
We have a Twitter, at Rider Club Radio. We have an email address, riderclubradio@gmail.com. Shoot us a tweet. Yeah, shoot us a tweet. Follow us on Twitter, send us all your emails, send us all your hate mails, we love them.
Yeah, you would have learned a couple days ahead of time about Epcot having Kamen Rider figures if you were following us on Twitter.
Be the first to know about our lives, if you're that way inclined, by following us on Twitter.
I actually post some Kamen Rider sketches and some art on there sometimes. We do shitty jokes all the time, we converse with you guys about what you think about Rider, and we retweet your shitty jokes.
Yeah, Jeff makes good stuff on the Twitter.
Liam does mediocre shit. It's pretty good.
I try real hard. It doesn't always work.
It's the number one place to interact with us. We check the email a lot, too.
Yeah,
actually,
I check the email once every day or two.
It's always great to go check the email and see that there's a new one. Even if it's just somebody writing fuck you in 500-point font, it's still great to see.
It warms my heart when a fan interacts with us.
But next week we'll be getting back in the swing of talking about Kamen Rider Drive, because there'll be an episode.
Hopefully.
I guess we probably should have looked up and see if there was another game of golf before I said that.
Golf usually doesn't last 2 weeks, I don't think. Pretty sure it's going to be back on.
We're pretty much experts in golf, so
yeah,
Kamen Rider will be back.
And so will we.
So see you next time.
See you.